and speak what God has given to her heart. We just want you to know that we love you all. We thank you for hanging around. Your family, we enjoy being with you, and it's just going to get better and better and better and better, and none of you can leave.
You heard that, Kimpo. Dad just said you can't leave. I'm in agreement, but I think we have to consult God on that one. I have something in my heart to share with you today that God has been stirring. And I just want to challenge you that if you're not careful, it's going to seem just really simple. And you may be inclined to just kind of gloss over this and think, yeah, that's interesting. It's cute. That's a nice little list. But God is cultivating something within us. And what often happens with humans is that we overcomplicate. We overthink. We make it difficult. We make it challenging. And the Lord said that if we want to see the kingdom of God, we have to become as little children. We have to just believe what he says. I remember it so vividly because God, when God speaks through a moment, it's sort of solidified in your mind and in your heart. And I can remember sitting in a restaurant with Lauren, and she was about 4 years old, I think. And we were just having silly conversation. It was me and Pastor Richard and Lauren before the rest of the little ones came along. And Richard said something silly. He said, "Look, there's a purple elephant in the tree right there." And she immediately turned her head and looked to see the purple elephant. Now, if you had grilled her on it, she probably would have been able to tell you there's no such thing and that it could not be in a tree and all of those facts. But because her father said, she looked. Because God said, it was that simple. Daddy said so. There's no argument against what Daddy says, right? So learning to have the faith of a child, childlike faith, just trusting in him and what he says. I'm going to share some concepts with you this morning, and I want you to get it down in your heart, because as we learn to walk in these concepts, we will be those who know their God, who are strong and do exploits. Not because we grew to such fabulous maturity in the Lord, so much knowledge, we can move mountains. No, just because we spend time with Daddy. And when Daddy says, we say, okay. It's as simple as that. But the challenge is, are you spending time? Have you spent enough time to hear his voice? When you hear his voice, did you know it was him? I don't think any of us would say, no, God. The question is, God, was that you? Right? Anybody testify to that? So the challenge is when we know our God, I know his voice, and I don't have to wonder whether or not to step out on it because he is faithful and true. Amen? Always faithful. There's a lot of different things we could title this message. I just called it More About the Flame. But I want you to begin to cultivate an attitude of becoming a worshiper and understanding what it means to worship God. Worship is not just bowing down up here when the music is really pretty and we feel the presence of God and you just want to pour your heart out to him. That's part of it. That's part of our relationship. But worship spans a lot more than that. And it may seem like I'm not talking about worship, but everything that I talk about this morning is a facet of worshiping God. Richard and I wrote, a manual, a workbook, something a lot of years ago called The Foundations of Praise and Worship. And I can't remember in its totality, but we talked about worship being a lifelong lifestyle of submission to our Father, a lifestyle, not just an event, not just an occasional occurrence, but continually worshiping him. The word says to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto him. You present yourself. Sometimes we're waiting for the shepherd to take that staff and pull us in and make us do what we're supposed to. But the word says you make a choice. You decide to do this. You be holy. You set apart those things that I've asked you not to do. No, maybe it's not a sin, but I've asked you to stay away from the very appearance of evil. I've asked you to come in from those things, come out from among the world, be separate. So all of those things are part of presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice, and that is worship. So just to back up a little bit, I think it was in the 1st of August, we began talking about tending the flame. And I remember I was sitting right here on the floor. Can't tell you why, but that's where I like to sit when I come in here. It's just me. I just spend time in the presence of the Lord, pray in the Spirit, worship Him, listen. And I had gotten quiet, and I heard this sentence. He said, I start the fire. You must keep the flame. It was so real. It was almost audible. I wish I could say it was a thundering voice from the heavens, but it was that still small voice. And he said, I start the fire. You know, the word says we can't come to him except the Holy Spirit draws us. And we have to come through the door of the Redeemer, of Christ, of our Savior. We come through that way. He starts the whole thing. You coming to God was his idea. He made you with that purpose. It was not your good idea. It was not your discovery. You didn't find God. He found you. And he brought us to him. And so he said, I start the fire. And then he took me in the Old Testament in Leviticus chapter 9, after they had made all the preparations. They're in the wilderness, and God took Moses up into the mountain, and he showed him the pattern of the temple that he would build, of the tabernacle, of pattern of worship in heaven. That's a very important facet to remember, that what we see in the temple in the Old Testament was something that started in heaven. There was a pattern in heaven. And then he just sort of gave it a type of it in the earth. And then after Jesus was crucified and he made a way for us to be restored in fellowship, and the veil was torn, and he said, now do you not know that your body is the temple? So we went from the pattern of heaven to the wilderness, to Solomon's temple, to the rebuilt temple, to you are now the temple. But the pattern originated in heaven. So we don't want to toss out some of the principles that we see in the tabernacle because, well, that's Old Testament. It started before the foundation of the world. It existed in heaven. And so we want to understand what God was saying through all of those things. So he showed him how they would offer the sacrifices, and they had the altar that they would offer them on, and then there was the altar of incense, there was the candlestick, all of these things. Where was the fire to come from? And as all the people gathered, I have to wonder if they were thinking, you know, I don't remember God telling us how to light this thing. Something's supposed to burn this stuff up, but how's it supposed to happen? I don't know. I don't want to make light of it. But, you know, they were humans just like we are with questions. But as they stood and prepared to do what God told them to do, the fire came from heaven and lit the altar. Now, I have to think that that would get your attention. If you've been wondering, Moses has gone crazy. He has no idea what he's doing. He's got people killing animals. This is getting really weird up in here, God. And all of a sudden, from the heavens, the fire is lit. I have a feeling a lot of hearts changed at that moment. But in preparation, he told him back in chapter 6, he said, the fire that gets lit on this altar and in these places is never to go out. It should be a continually burning flame, and you must tend it. And they had schedules and regimens that they went through to make sure that the fire never went out. And sure enough, there was a couple of guys that didn't really pay attention to the instructions. Is it Nadab and Abihu? And they decided they would just kind of light some things on their own to offer the sacrifice. They called it strange fire. It's the works of the flesh. It's what can I do to be good enough for God? How can I participate in this process and add my piece to it? And God said, no, that's not what I told you. I said, this flame, use this fire, the fire that I started. See, we want to come alongside with our plans and say, yeah, and wouldn't it be cool if we added an addition over here, God, and I can use this one for what I want to do? And God's like, no, because it's going to bring death to the process. So you have to do it like I said, what I said. And the thing is that he started the fire. So if you know him, there is a fire inside of you. It may be a tiny little ember. It may need some oxygen, some air blown on it. You're going to have to fan the flames, as they say. Stir the embers to bring it back to life. But it is in you. If you are his, it is in you because he started it. And so he's asked us to tend that flame and to keep it burning. And that flame, I think it represents a lot of things, and I can't say that I have the full counsel of God on it, but I believe the flame is him. It is his presence. It is what he is doing within us. It is the place to which he draws us. There was fire in the tabernacle. It was on the altar of incense, the candles. But remember on the mercy seat, on the ark of the covenant in the Holy of Holies, that was where the presence of God dwelled. And he would beckon to Moses and he would say, come and speak with me and spend time with me. That's one of the first things that you need to cultivate, is the ability to hear the voice of God when he says, hey, let's talk. Let's have a chat. I need you to pray. He might want to talk with you about something that you're doing. He might want to talk with you about something he needs you to pray for somebody else. He might want to just spend some time with you and say, I've got some things to share with you. I want to encourage you. God will draw you in, but it's very easy to drown out that draw with the busyness of life. Much like, was it Martha? He said, you're concerned and busy and troubled with many things. But Mary has chosen the good thing, the important thing, that one thing, which is to sit at the feet of Jesus. So learning to come to that place when he calls you, learning to come to him and spend time with him. I don't know if comfortable is the right word, but just consider going into a quiet room and sitting down, just you and God. What do you say? What do you do? So many times we have all of these aids around us, I call it, and we'll put on some teaching, and then we'll read somebody's book, and then we'll put on somebody else's music, and we participate with these things, and that's good. That's a good thing to do, but there needs to be a time where it's just you, your voice, God, and his voice. And what do you do? What do you say? What happens when you do that? Some of you have found out. Some of you are about to find out. It is. It can be a daunting place to go. I can remember very young sitting down and saying, well, God, they said you're always listening. And I'm here, and I'm not real sure what to say, but I'm here. And the Holy Spirit began to teach me what to do in those times. Sometimes you pray in the Spirit. Sometimes it was just time to tell God everything that had ticked you off that day and ended up with, but God, I know that you are able to wash me from all of these attitudes and make it right, so I submit it to you. Lots of different conversations we can have with him there. Let's be about seeing how far he will take us in those times, in those precious times where it's just you and God. And that's what I want to talk about this morning. We've talked about tending the flame, things that we give the flame, our sacrifice, that sort of thing. But I want to talk about the flame as it pertains to your daily life. We hear a phrase, keep the home fires burning, right? Keep the flame burning. If we understand the intent of that, that means to attend to the place where we come together, where Richard and I come together, where we have our home, where we have our relationship. He's out working. He's out doing things. If I'm keeping the home fires burning, that means when he comes home, there is a place made for our relationship, for communication, for fellowship, for all of those things, for your children. They go to school. Some parents stay home. Maybe you're working from home right now. But you're keeping the home fires burning. You're keeping a place for them. When those kids come home, you're making a place for the relationship. You want them to be comfortable. You want them to be able to come home and know what's expected. You're keeping the home fires burning. I think it was a big expression that was used a lot during the war, World War II, when a lot of men went off to battle and the women, for the most part, stayed home and kept the home. It was ready for such a time as they're coming back. Keeping that place for the relationship ready. So I want to talk about doing that because that place now is you, your body. You are the temple. So what is the fire? What happens at the fire? Where do we go with that? I have some concepts that I want to share with you about that. In keeping and protecting that place where we come together to fellowship with God, where we live, what happens there in that relationship, and keeping that relationship with God fresh and alive. So if you want to take notes, I've got seven properties, places, I'm not even sure exactly what to call it, but ways that we keep those fires burning and what happens in that fire. What is the purpose of that fire? Fire has a lot of purposes, a lot of different things that it can do. And the fire of God is always going to be beneficial to those whose hearts are turned towards him. So the first thing that the Lord had me meditating on is fire is generally a place where food is prepared. You know, we may even have one of those fancy ovens or stove or whatever, but for a lot of people, if it's gas, there's a flame. The fire, that's where the food is prepared. Now, reading the Word of God is a way to keep that flame burning. You know, the Word says man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So when we come into His presence to spend time with Him in His Word, when that relationship is kindled and we read the Word of God in light of His fire, His anointing, His presence, there's revelation. There's food there for your soul and it feeds you. And when it's assimilated in your body, it prepares you for something. Has anyone ever spent time with God and then you're reading the Word and there's a verse that you've known for years and years and all of a sudden it takes on new significance? Or maybe you were spending time meditating the Word and you went to bed and you woke up the next morning with a phrase in your head that you had never considered before, but it was life to you. That fire, that relationship with God will prepare food for you, that will feed you and sustain you for your day, for your journey, for your life. It's different than just, well, I'm supposed to read Genesis chapter 12 and Matthew chapter 6 today, and if I do this for so many months, I'll get through the Bible in a year, and then I can say I've read the Bible. Okay, if that's something you want to do, that's fine. But that is not feasting at the fire of God for what He prepares for you. And it's nice to go out to a restaurant and, you know, have some food and they sort of have a certain pattern that they fix everything. But I don't know if y'all ever had a home-cooked meal from Miss Mary. But there's nothing like that home-cooked flavor. And I have heard, this is not my cup of tea, but I have heard it said that when you catch the fish and you clean it and you put it on the fire by the riverside and you cook it, there's nothing that tastes like that. You can't go buy that from HEB and get the same flavor. There's something special about that meal that is home cooked. It's just you and the Father God, and He prepares something beautiful for you. See, He started that, but you have to tend it. You have to make a place for it. So don't waste that fire. Don't waste that food that's been waiting for you. Some of us have got a few meals stacked up that we haven't partaken of yet. And God's saying, if you'll come aside, I will show you things that you don't know. I'll show you great and mighty things. I'll show you things to come. I'll share from my heart, but we have to come to that place of the fire, to that relationship. Number two, and these are not in totality. I'm sure there are many other things that we could discuss, but these are just the things that I saw as I was praying. When you look at that fire, that relationship with God, it provides warmth. Fire provides warmth. The last house that we lived in had a fireplace, and I loved it. You know, you can turn the heat up, but then when you sit down, it's like all the heat's up there, and it's kind of frustrating trying to get warm in the house. Some of you know what I'm talking about, especially if you don't have carpet. Your feet are cold, your head's hot. But just to sit down in front of that fire, it's a different kind of heat. And there's something, just heartwarming about it. It's more than just the fire in the fireplace. It speaks of home and comfort and safety. And, you know, sometimes it sounds cliche, but I know you all know what I'm talking about. When we're out there in the world, it gets cold sometimes. That world treats us in a cold manner. And we're left feeling icy on the inside, and we feel like we have that heart of stone. And like, I just can't care anymore because I have felt so much of the ice of this world, of the coldness, of the difficulties and the challenges and the people that have hurt us. But if we will gather around the fire of God, that relationship with Him, it's like it melts away all of those cares. It melts away the offense. Sometimes we take offense. And He replaces that heart of stone with that heart that can love, that can go back out there and do it again tomorrow, knowing that it's probably going to get the same results. But because I've spent time with my Father, He changes us in the warmth of His presence. It's comforting. It's a special, I can't even describe it. I don't even know how to describe it. Think of the person that you love the most, where you feel the safest. And spending time there, knowing it's going to be okay. Because when that person is the God of the universe, I think He can handle it. There are people that I feel safe with, but there are people that I know that if they came after us, can He take him? I don't know. But when you think of the Creator of the universe, He's got you, always. And He wants us to come to that place so that we don't get jaded. So that we don't get to where we just have an attitude all the time. I've been there. I don't like it. And I remember telling God, I don't like this in me. I don't want to mess with those people anymore. They are irritating me. I don't want to have to do this anymore. I don't like this task. I don't like, blah, 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 blah. And God said, would you just come spend some time in my presence? Let me wash that stuff away. And let me replace that jaded heart with one that's full of my love, where you don't have to work it up. You're not having to bite your tongue. You're not having to guard your words, because your heart is full of His love, the warmth of His love. And that's when you'll find people coming up to you and saying, can I just have a hug? I need some peace. And always when I come to you, there's peace in you. And I need some of that. And you will begin to be the source of that for other people, because you've come to the Father in that place and tended that fire. So don't waste that flame. Don't waste the comfort that is there. Number three, fire is a barrier to the enemy. It will keep the enemy at bay. First of all, if you think about it, I don't have a lot of outdoor experience, okay? That's not my thing. But I know that when you build a campfire outside, when you light it, quite often you start seeing the bugs run away. Because the hotter it gets, the more they're like, okay, I don't want to live in this log anymore because I think it's going down. So they start running out. The fire of God, as it increases in your life, you will find things leaving your life that are not meant to be there. Things that have maybe been eating away at you, causing you issues, causing you problems. You didn't have to go look that bug in the face and say, I command you in the name of Jesus to cease and desist and leave my life. No, you just turn up the fire and they will run. Okay? So that's part of it, but also it keeps the enemy at bay. When Richard and I first got married, 1985, we both worked for the state, and we both loved to read. We were avid readers. And at the time, we were going through the Westerns, the series by Lewis L'Amour. I think we've read everything he ever wrote, probably a couple of times. And he was a historian as well as a storyteller. And so he would interweave facts and things about the lay of the land and the way that they lived. If you read about it, you could find it on a map, or you knew that's what they did. And so he had a lot of interesting stories that he would tell. But, you know, he would talk about if the travelers were traveling through the wilderness and you could hear the wolves howling at night, they would find maybe the mouth of a cave or someplace protected on one side by a grove of trees or something. They would build a fire, and the fire out at the front of the camp would keep the wild animals from coming in. If necessary, if they got a little bold, they would take a stick and put it in the fire and wave it at the animals, and they would run back. That fire of God is a protection. It will keep you in the presence of God and keep the enemy from you. It is not a work that you have to do. It is the fire of God within you that you have tended, and it will keep the enemy at bay without you having to go out there and do a lot of... people talk about spiritual warfare. I understand there's an enemy, and there are times that God says, speak to this enemy and tell him to leave. But it's not always about having to fight the enemy. See, he's already defeated. And the presence of God is a deterrent, okay? A lot of things that come into our lives that we battle are because we let it. And we let it by not tending the flame. Because when the flame is alive and active and powerful, your relationship with God is good. There are a lot of things that the enemy just can't touch because he ain't coming through that fire. He is not coming through that fire. So fire is a barrier to the enemy. Now, I would say, be careful that you don't mistake the fire of God for the fire of adversity. This is kind of an aside, sort of right here in the middle. The fire of God will burn things out of you that are not good. I remembered having a vision one time, not an open vision, but I just saw that I was wrapped in this liquid gold and I was being drawn into the presence of God, and it was as if it were his throne room, and I could just see gold everywhere and I could see his feet, that's all. And I was being drawn, and it was sort of like I was floating and he was just drawing me in. But the closer that I got to him and to his presence, I could see behind me and little black spots throughout that were coming out. As I drew closer to him, those things were having to leave because they could not stay in his presence. So there are things that God wants to get rid of in you. Sometimes it hurts a little bit. God wants us to lay some things down. He wants us to lay some attitudes down. He wants us to lay some mistrust down. And we feel it, and we want to start rebuking the enemy, because anything that hurts has to be the devil, right? Pruning hurts, okay? It can. And sometimes God will use the fire of adversity to reveal things. But when the enemy tries to take you out with his fire, he cannot, because of the protection of the fire of God, if you utilize it, if you submit yourself to that. Number four, fire is a place of fellowship. Anybody have a fire pit? Ever had a fire pit in your backyard? Anybody know what a fire pit is? Hello? We used to have one in our backyard when all the kids were at home, and then all the kids' friends would come over. And it was just a little cheap thing. I think it was maybe $35 at Walmart. But we would put it on the patio and put some logs in it and start a fire. And it didn't matter if it was the summertime, the heat of the summer, or the cold of winter. Everybody wanted to sit around the fire and just fellowship, just talk, just be silly. Do funny things, watch a leaf burn, you know, the stuff that made no sense, had no huge impact on life. Just building fellowship, just hanging out. And generally, if our family was involved, someone would randomly break into song. somebody would go get a guitar and we would start singing because that's what our family does, randomly and often. Music just happens. And it was just a place of fellowship. There was no serious, oh, we have to be serious about this. What can we talk about that's serious? We need to get serious about things. No, it's just fellowship. God wants to fellowship with you. Remember when he would walk with Adam in the cool of the day? Every single day, what did they talk about? You think they run out of things to talk about? Not with God. Not with God. He wants to hang out with you. And sometimes we make it so serious that we need to have a list of what we're going to pray and how we're going to pray and what's my scripture that I'm standing on, and I make my petition known and stay really serious, and now we're done. Did you know that God can tell jokes? He loves it when you laugh. He created that within us that likes to chit-chat, that likes to chuckle. Wow, that's funny. I never thought of it that way. God created that. God is the author of those things. And he wants to fellowship with us. But we are the ones that have to tend that flame. And if you don't know what that looks like, then you just ask God, God, what does it mean to fellowship with you? Show me in your word. Show me how to do this. Because he talked about, was it Moses that said God talked with him as a man with a friend? Not as the captain in charge to the little soldier that I need to give you your instructions, now get out of my face. A friend. Just hanging out, talking. God wants to do that with you. And he's asking us to tend that flame. So don't waste the flame. Number five, fire cleanses and purifies. You know this, right? If you need to get impurities out of the water, you what? You put it on the fire and boil it. Maybe you put it in the microwave, but you boil it because the heat removes the impurities. So they talk about cauterizing a wound. Sometimes, especially when you didn't have, an emergency center right down the street on the corner, you could apply something that had been on fire to that wound. It would stop the bleeding and kill any unhealthy tissue around it to help prevent infection. It purifies. If you turn the heat up, a certain substances at a certain temperature, this impurity will come up and you can take it out. And then at another temperature, a little hotter, another impurity comes out. There are things that God wants to work out of us, to clean up in us, that as we present ourselves to him, it's a process that happens, a purification, a refining. And let me tell you what that can look like sometimes is that, God, I already went through this. We dealt with this, and I understand what faith is because I trust you, and I thought I trusted you, and all of a sudden this has happened, and I feel like I don't trust you anymore, and I don't know what happened. And he said, you're going to another level. I'm refining you. It's like the net, the sifter. It gets tighter and tighter and tighter, getting out smaller and smaller particles of unbelief and doubt and fear and confusion. So you may feel like some of the things you're dealing with, I've been this way before, God. I know how to trust you. And God says, so why are you so worried right now? Oh, it's a different level. It's further purification, further refining. But you know, the thing about a living sacrifice is that it has the option to get down off the altar. And sometimes we don't like that refining process and we're like, I'm out, God, this hurts too much. But you're not going to go any further in him and your purpose and your destiny until you submit to that process. Let's see. That was number five. I will say that this thing of coming to him and having those things purified and dealt with in us, I see that process taking place from the platform a lot of times in praise and worship. And people are excited about God and they're coming into his presence, and all of a sudden you see a frown on their face. And suddenly they have to leave and go to the restroom or go to the break room or fidget or sit down because they withdraw from the process because it got painful. and they remembered something, and God brought something up, and he said, I want to heal it. I want to deal with it. I want to take it out of your life. And they said, I can't do that right now. It will hinder your worship if you do not allow God to deal with those things as he brings them up. He's not going to bring it up until you're ready to deal with it. But you may question his wisdom. Let me give you some advice. Father knows best. Let him deal with those things. Let the tears come if they need to. And lay it on the altar before him, and you will find a newfound freedom as his presence purifies more. You go further and closer into that fire. Number six, I'm going to try to speed it up here. Fire lights and illuminates. You know, that was the original, how can we see the back of this cave? A lot of fire. That was how you would explore. There was not a flashlight on your phone that you could just shake it and there it was. Have y'all seen that? You just shake the phone and the flashlight comes on. Fascinating. But fire lights and illuminates. The fire of God allows you to see what's around you, the path you need to take, how to get to it. It illuminates, it gives vision, it lets you see the lay of the land. It lets you see where the enemy is. It lets you see where the advantages is. This is an easier way to get from here to there. Fire illuminates, it brings vision. It opens the eyes of your understanding so that you can see further and see more. Coming to that fire, that relationship with God, that place with him will allow you to see with the eyes of the Spirit more and more and more. Seeing in the Spirit, a spirit of seeing and knowing, that's not just for fivefold ministry. God wants all of us to be able to see further in the Spirit. That is something that is developed in his presence at that flame. Now, there's another thing about this, the fire of God, that's different than the fire of man. And this was interesting. Another thing in Louis L'Amour's books that he was always writing is he said, you know, when you're out there, and especially if there's bad guys or wild animals around, and you have your fire lit, don't stare into the fire. Because then if you hear a noise behind you and you turn around to look in the dark to see, is that a wild animal or is that my kid, you know, coming back from somewhere? Because when you're staring into the fire, your pupils close. And then when you move quickly, it takes them a while to open up so that you can really see. And so staring into the fire was not suggested because you would not be able to quickly attend to things in the shadows. However, with the fire of God, as we look into him, into that fire, remember the song, it says, the things of earth will grow strangely dim. Because when we're looking at him, that is the only way to truly see what's happening in the shadows. When we try to look with these eyes at what's happening in the shadows, it will scare us. We will worry about it. How am I going to take care of that? What am I going to do about that? But as we stare into the presence of God, he gives us sight. So that we're not moved by the things that we would see with the natural eyes, but in the spirit we know, don't worry about that, that one's going to go away. Don't worry about that, I've got an angel taking care of that one. And tomorrow I want you to do this, this, and this, and that'll go away. That's that illumination that the fire of God brings, that we look directly there at him and we can see further and see more. And the last thing that I would share with you is that fire makes you moldable. The warmth of the fire makes you something that can be shaped. Remember, Jesus said, follow me and I will make you. I will shape you into what you're supposed to be. It's much the same as you see with the blacksmith, that they take a piece of metal, a piece of iron, and they heat it till it's smoldering hot, and then they're able to bend it and shape it with various instruments into whatever its function is supposed to be. If it's a horseshoe, you know, they'll bend it around. They put, I don't know exactly what they do with it, but whatever its function is supposed to be, if it needs to be pointy on the end, if it needs to be bent, God will make you what you are supposed to be for your purpose, for your function, for your destiny, when you come to Him, to the fire of His presence, and become moldable, shapeable. He will shape you and make you into what you're supposed to be so that you are fully functional for whatever He's called you to. You know, there are things that God calls us to that we just know we have an affinity with, and that sounds exactly like me, and I love that. And then God says, and I want you to do it up here on the stage in front of 5,000 people, and you're like, hold up. I don't do audiences, God. That's where you need some molding. Because once you are in His presence and you realize He is the most important thing in the world, you don't care about those faces out there. And you're going to stand up there and you're going to do exactly what He says to do and say exactly what He says to say. And when it's over, you're going to think, how in the world did I do that? I could not stand up in the sixth grade and read a paragraph in front of people that was already written before me. But God shapes you because He sees things in you that you don't see. See, we have people around us when we're young telling us, oh, you'll never do that. Well, I don't really see that in you. I had a minister, my pastor, years ago that told me, you'll never be in ministry because you don't have good people skills. I was, 20-something when he said that, and I was like, ouch. And so I had to talk to God about it. We've all had that. I am not alone. Each and every one of you have had someone speak something over you that was not true. And that's when we need to come to that fire of God and say, but you know what, God, you get the final word. And you is actually truth. And if you tell me I can do this, do whatever you need to do. Fashion me in the right way, so that I accomplish what you want. And I will tell you, there is nothing in the world more satisfying than being used of God. Because that's what you were created for, to be a blessing. Amen? So we need to make sure that our altar is intact. Remember, we talked about rebuilding the altar, the place of relationship. Make sure it is intact. Make sure that we've made that place to meet with Him and listen for Him calling us there. And then we need to use that altar as often as possible. Coming to that place, maybe it's a minute and a half at a red light. Maybe it's 10 minutes on break at work. Maybe it's a few minutes before you go to bed or before everybody else in the household wakes up in the morning. I don't know. Find as many times and ways and places as possible to fellowship with Him, to submit to Him, to read His word, but knowing that you are coming and tending that flame of relationship, making a place for all of those things, and then let that fire do its work of preparing that meal for us and revealing the word of God, of warming us, giving us protection, giving us that place of fellowship with God, cleansing and purifying us, lighting and illuminating the way and the things around us, and making us moldable in His presence. We need to make a place for these things. And as we do that, we will become the worshipers that arise. Because that is what worship truly is, continually living in that place of fellowship with God and worshiping Him. And then we become more and more defined and refined for our purpose. Sheep who know His voice, sons who are led by the Spirit, ambassadors of the kingdom of God, establishing His kingdom wherever we go, and carriers of His goodness. Worship is a lifelong lifestyle of submission and service to our King. And when we truly become those worshipers, worshiping at that flame of the presence of God, then we will change the world. Amen.
Praise God. God is a fire. He is our fire.
and all of those things. That's some good benefits. You know, I like the eating part and the warmth part. It's all good. It's all good. And the illumination, God brings it because He is it. And we keep Him stirred up inside of us. We keep ourselves stirred up in relationship with Him. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Father, we thank You for the word that we have heard. We thank You, Father, that Your word never fails. And we can never exhaust any subject, any portion of Your word, Father. That as many times as we hear it, we learn and we hear new things. You show us new things. You show us new facets of You and Your love for us and what You have done for us. Father, we thank You that the word is planted in our heart, and even though it's the enemy's job assignment to come and steal it and to say, no, that's not right. No, that wasn't true. We know Your word is true. And we receive the seed of that word and we allow it to be planted in our hearts, that it would produce much fruit and that it would not be stolen from us. We thank You, Father. We seal it with the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, come and cause our lives to be changed permanently, permanently by the fire of our Holy Father. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Well, before I pronounce the blessing, we got some work to do. We are changing the sanctuary back to chairs. Half of you are excited. Half of you are saying, oh, can't we keep the tables? But no, we're going to pull the tables up, and we'll take the tablecloths off before, and they're just little elastic things that you can just pull off. But we want to keep the tablecloths. Don't rip them up. Or the table covers, they're not really cloth. And we'll put the chairs out. So if you can give us a few minutes of your time, gentlemen, and we can get it knocked out in just a very short time. But we want to do that, and I think all the partying... No, the partying's not over. But just different. Getting ready for some new things. Stand with me. The offices will be open back up tomorrow. And we got a lot of things to do for the new year, for what God is calling us to do and calling us to go, places He's calling us to go. We've got a lot of places to go. But I call you blessed because you are the children of the Most High God. And you are taught of the Lord. So great is your peace and undisturbed composure. And no weapon formed against you prospers. And every tongue that would try to rise against you in judgment and condemnation, even bad opinions, we cast them down and say they are null and void of effect in your life. But your life is filled with peace, because your mind is constantly stayed on the Spirit of God, and that everywhere you go, you are the righteousness of God, and you bring righteousness and holiness into every situation and circumstance, and you prosper in everything you put your hand to. God is a consuming fire in you, causing all evil, badness, whatever you want to call it, all of that has to flee, because that is not a part of your covenant. You are blessed, and whom the Lord is blessed, none can curse. Go with God. We will see you Tuesday night for prayer meeting, and then Wednesday for assembly. Love you all. And yeah, we're starting praise practice again, praise rehearsal on Thursday. So back into the swing. God bless you. You are loved.